Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rules. Gotta follow them rules. This is Wretched Radio. In fact, Marilee should start by following the rules of grammar. Gotta follow them rules. Speaking of grammar, Jimmy, I thought of you Sunday in church. I learned something about dialects in the South.
What'd you learn?
I learned that people say words really differently.
Yes, they do.
Okay. This is what I was told. When you say fixin' to, you know, I'm fixin' to go to the Kroger.
I try not to say that around you.
Which doesn't need a definite article. It's not the Kroger.
No, it's not.
It's like, I'm going to go to the mall. Wait a second. It would be like saying, I'm going to go to the mall. The point is, you say fixin' to. I was told down south, southern Georgia, it's fittin' to. Something.
No, I don't say that.
It's like, it's almost like a different word, but it's the same word, but it's the dialect. In other words, Georgia is like Germany. It just has dialects, but I didn't realize they were that fast. So we here at Wretched Radio, don't you worry, gonna get back on track. We practice good grammar, Lee, but we don't break news stories. Why? Because I don't think that's our job. Not sure that's any Christian's job. There's a brouhaha. Maybe you just heard about it. Somebody's texted you. You're going to hear about it soon enough. It's a bummer. It's just a bummer of a story. And literally, right before the microphone turned on, I received news of it. And rule number one would tell me, hold on, until I know that everybody, or at least most people, knows about this story, I'm not going to be the one to disseminate bad news information about a brother. That's right. It's about a brother. It's about a leader in conservative circles, and you're going to hear about it. But until you do, sorry, we're going to follow the rule of not being the one who's the first out of the gate. Fire! Aim! Ready! We're just going to wait. And furthermore, we're going to follow rule number two when it comes to discernment. Might not say anything even if it meets the criteria of rule number one. That's right. Just because everybody's talking about it doesn't mean that you and I need to talk about it. So how do you decide if you contribute to the conversation? And I think there are some rules to determining whether or not you and I should be having conversations about a bad news story, especially in conservative circles. What are those rules? Number one, do I have anything to contribute? Do I have anything that is going to be helpful? I will tell you this at the moment. I don't have anything helpful. I just heard about it. We're not Fox News. Hey, did you read your X machine? Breaking news. Wait till you hear this one. Sorry, not playing that game. Furthermore, if I don't know the details of everything, if I don't know more than the story in an effort to do what? Help people, which I think is another rule. Will my comments about this particular subject help people if they're not constructive? If they're not for the building up of the body, which Ephesians 3 all the way into Ephesians 4, that we do these one another's together and that the elders lead and teach. For what purpose? For the building up of the body till we all experience the fullness of Christ. We're to be building up. We're to be edifying, not hacking away. And you say, well, wait a second. What about when you, Friel, hack away at some preacher? That was not the word that came to mind immediately. What's the difference? Is it just because that this particular story is somebody that I probably would check every single theological box? Probably every single one. Am I being duplicitous? Talk about one and not the other? No, the rules of discernment help me here. There are certain stories that you just never talk about. There are so many, I don't want to use the word scandalous, but for this particular story, I think it just borders more on just, what? But all of these scandalous stories, we don't talk about most of them. Honestly, we just don't. There are so many people doing so many rotten things in Christianity, and we just don't talk about them. Why? Well, number one, does it impact people? Number two, is it helpful? Number three, is it a local church issue? Number four, do I have anything beneficial to say for the building up of the body? So we pass on a lot of those things, and we might pass on this particular story too. On the other hand, we might not. If it meets the rule criteria that I think that we should all apply to ourselves before we go about the business of talking about what's breaking on X or the Christian Post or wherever these things get posted. Can I say something helpful? Can I build up the body? Do I have anything unique to say? There's another rule. If it's just banging the same drum, well, we all love a drum and bugle corps, but we just don't need to hear this many drums. We just don't. We don't need it regurgitated, repeated. And we've got to be careful that we don't turn any one of these stories into a gossip fest. That's so easy to do, isn't it? We don't have to talk about it at church, but we do because we kind of like this stuff. It's dish shells. None of us are immune. I know the lure of it. That's why Entertainment Tonight is still on the air. And I think John Tesh is still making royalties, if I'm not mistaken, from that theme song. Do they still have the same theme song?
I think so,
It's probably all electronic at this point. But the lure and the temptation to pile on, to jump in, even when we do it in a way that sounds a little more sanctified. Brother, I think we're all hurting, aren't we? Did you hear the story about, that's just real. Okay. I'm not saying that it's necessarily a sin. I'm not. But we got to watch our hearts. And we've got to practice some discretion. Not like the United States Catholic Diocese, who basically in Seattle told their priests, if somebody confesses to you they're molesting children, you keep it private. You don't report that to the law. I'm not talking about that kind of, air quote, discretion. I'm talking about putting a gate on my mouth. And trust me, not only has my gate too often been open, I can think back over the years, I didn't even have a gate. Whatever, blab, without any thinking, without any restraint. I don't know if anybody but myself will get this, but have you ever done that? Have you ever known something? You're out to dinner with a group of people from church, whatever it is, and you know something, and you could contribute it, and all heads would turn toward you, but you don't do it. You don't do it. You keep it close to the vest. I'm telling you, there's a feeling that accompanies that discretion. There's something about it that says, that was right. That was good. That was good. Thank you, Lord, for putting a button on my mouth so that I don't disclose things that won't edify and build up and teach. There's another key, by the way. If you're going to practice discernment, talking about these issues, what is it that you're going to say that is going to be helpful? Now, I think maybe one of the things possibly that we will talk about here, maybe in the days and weeks ahead, is the issue of this is a tough issue. Because I think it's really easy at this moment to whiplash and go into one ditch or the other. And that is the issue of, we'll call it evangelical celebrityism-ness. That somehow there are people in conservative evangelical circles that get elevated. And most of the time, these are the people that you'll see at major conferences. They get elevated up there because it just happens. Now, the danger would be that we say, therefore, cancel all conferences, cancel all X, cancel all YouTube videos. You don't even write a book because that could bring you some notoriety. I think that would be an overreaction. On the other hand, what's going on? We got to sort through this. And I think this gives us an opportunity. Is the problem the system that creates people that we all look up to? Or is it our own hearts that we look up to people that we maybe just, that we appreciate them, but they're not our spiritual leader? Our local pastor is. So until we can check our discernment rule boxes, nothing. I got nothing for you. This Real What's New. This, hey, is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Heavy, Mrs. Marsh. This is Wretched Radio. There have been many stories here at Wretched Radio that we have discussed that are deeply disturbing, but perhaps no story. This, wow, is like profoundly, this is like going to change your world. This could just totally alter the trajectory of your entire life. Jimmy, am I overselling this setup too much?
Maybe a little.
This is... Subtlety isn't anywhere in my name or vocabulary for that matter. I'm telling you, this is troubling. Joy Behar, in talking about the new Roman Catholic Pope, I'm serious. I'm thinking maybe we do need to get a hold of Jim Baker and buy some of that food and start moving to Montana, everybody. By the way, did you see that video that was circulating about Jim Baker? He's 85 years old. And he went on to his TV program, the Praise the Lord program. I think that's what it's called. I didn't know it was still on the air. And he was telling people that if everybody watching would just send in $1,000, then the ministry would be fine because they are after him. Who are they? That wasn't disclosed. But if you don't send in that $1,000, then he's going to be out on the street homeless. Same old, same old. Same old money grab. I read something interesting last night in 2 Peter. Let's see if I can do this for memory. Probably not. Last night in 2 Peter was reading about false teachers. I know. I got to find this. Jimmy, maybe you could find it. 2 Peter. And he's talking about false teachers. It's the first third of the chapter. And he's talking about these teachers that love money. And he interjects a word, shameful beings. Why? That's really strong language talking about those false teachers, because what they do hurts people. And I've seen it. I know people who have loved ones who themselves have given a lot of money to these men and these women that are nothing but hustlers. They just love money. And it's shameful. And I think I really felt it when I was reading the text. I just thought Peter was expressing. It's like, this is just shameful. This is shameful what they're doing. And I wonder if we shouldn't be perhaps a little more exercise like Peter appeared to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse
1 through 3.
All right, let's hear it.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
Okay, keep reading, Jimmy, because I think that there is a parenthetical. Shameful. What they're doing is shameful. Or I perhaps was a little drowsy when I was reading my Bible, and I was making stuff up, which when it comes to false teaching, that is another hallmark. They just make up nonsense. Whilst Jimmy is reading 2 Peter 2, which is a very good chore for Jimmy. Sorry, I've got to get back into character. Truly disturbing. Just earth is nothing reliable these days. I'm watching The View. Okay, that's a lie. Somebody sent me the clip. On The View, Joy Behar actually said something kind of funny.
What do you want to bet Trump says the election was stolen?
That's pretty funny. So somebody must have written it for her. The gals at The View are now going to talk about the election of the Chicago Pope. Pope Leo, the X1V. Pope Leo, if I'm not mistaken, Pope Leo X was the Pope during the time of the life of Martin Luther. He was, I'm pretty certain it was he that Luther railed against. And it wasn't merely because of the debauchery. It is because, well, one of the reasons was the money grabbing that was going on, too, in the Roman Catholic Church, the indulgence system, Mariology, which, by the way, the new Pope, we don't know where he's at with Mary and his affection. I think it was John Paul, the popular John Paul. He was big into Mariology. Well, guess what? So is the new, or the last Pope, rather. I didn't know this about Francis. He wrote his last will and testament. Here it is. Throughout my life and during my ministry as a priest and bishop, I've always entrusted myself to the Mother of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wow. Wow. That we go to a mere mortal to have them play the role that they simply are not suited for. Only God can be the one to whom you entrust yourself. I ask that my mortal remains rest, awaiting the day of the resurrection in the papal basilica of St. Mary Major. So I who's Mary Minor? Is Mary Minor's from Matthew chapter 26? Which, by the way, actually that would be better said John chapter 11, because Matthew 26 doesn't identify the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her hair after anointing it with nard, which is an extract from a Himalayan plant. How do you know these details, Friel? Just preached about it. Very expensive, about a year's wages. And she wiped it off with her hair. What Bible verse talks about hair? Well, you're maybe thinking Samson, but I'm thinking about a woman's hair being her glory, said Paul to the Corinthians. Furthermore, in first century Jewish culture, a woman's hair was private. A woman didn't reveal her hair in public. It was a private matter for her husband, for her family. This woman so loved Jesus that she uncovered her hair and used it to wipe his feet. This is a woman that John 11 identifies as Mary, who deeply, profoundly, humbly loved Jesus Christ. In fact, what did Jesus say about this event after the disciples, led by Judas Iscariot, incidentally? Judas Iscariot, if you wondered, why didn't Judas love Jesus? Now, sorry, this wasn't the plan, but nevertheless, from Sunday's sermon, you've got the end of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, and then you've got a story about Caiaphas, the high priest, who had been in office for 18 years. He was a power broker. This guy was a bad dude. He was able to keep the peace with Rome whilst pretending to be religious. Why? Because what does Matthew 26 say? He plotted to kill Jesus, but he was cowardly. But let's do it in secret. He was such a political cat. He knew that any sort of execution, public execution of this very popular rabbi would have been problematic. So because he was a political beast, what did he do? Matthew 26 later tells us that he held the trial at night. That is a Jewish no-no. He held it in secret. That's against Jewish law. Nevertheless, Caiaphas loathed Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you see Mary, apparently the minor from Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointing Jesus' head and feet with nard and then wiping it off with her hair. Then you see the story of Judas Iscariot going to betray Jesus Christ. What are these stories doing together, especially when you see them out of order? And the answer is Matthew's making a point. Do not ever be disturbed about chronologies in the New Testament gospel tellings of Jesus' life. They did not intend to present a strict chronological history. They were trying to make a point. So in this instance, when Matthew is trying to elevate the magnificence of the king, that's the thread throughout the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us about Caiaphas, this fellow who loathed Jesus. Then he goes back 6 days. Wait, what? Why did you jump off track here and inject this story about Mary the minor wiping off Jesus' feet with their hair. Then you get the story of Judas. I think Matthew's trying to make the point. He's introducing us to somebody who loathed Jesus, who loved Jesus, and was lukewarm toward Jesus. Caiaphas hated Jesus Christ. Mary loved Jesus Christ. And she exhibited it by not care. She had no fear of man. She was going to do something that would have been like, whoa, what do you think you're doing? You can maybe anoint his hair. Not sure you need that expensive nard you got there, but his feet? You're taking off your covering to wipe it. It would have been shocking, and she didn't care. She didn't have a fear of man, and Jesus applauded it. Don't mock her. Because they went after her, led by Judas Iscariot. Why did Judas not love Jesus? He saw the same things that Mary saw, perhaps even more. Why didn't he love Jesus? And the answer is, he loved something more. He loved money. Hoping Jimmy's found 2 Peter chapter. Did you find it? Next. Return for our befuddled confusion on Wretched Radio.